that means is that means that you can give me some money so I can pay my rent. Well, you can give me money different ways. You can buy prints on my Etsy shop, Snippy Prints. You could come to my studio and buy art. It's a really good time right now because I'm broke, which means you get the art cheap. And I'm not attached to a gallery right now, which means you get the art at 50% off because the gallery is not taking a 50%, you know, cut. So it's a really good time to buy my art. If you want some poop on Trump buttons, you can get those from my Etsy shop, too. They're really cheap. They're $1.50. Or if you know me, just ask me because a lot of times I'm just carrying them around in my pocket. Yeah, share with your friends. Poop on Trump. I also have pee on Trump and piss on Trump. The pee and the piss buttons were inspired by the activist group Dominatrixes Against Donald. And Dominatrixes Against Donald can be found on Instagram, also Facebook, but go to the Instagram page, put in the hashtag Women Who Pee Standing. Women Who Pee, P-E-E, standing. Yeah, speaking of pee, I was thinking, like, I need to make some no peeing signs for the driveway of my studio. I also need to make some no pooping signs for the driveway. There's been some human feces out there. I'm trying to get it to dry out. It's better in the summer. It dries out faster because I don't want to go near human poop. I pick up enough dog poop from the poodle. How is that for mic popping? So I might do some reading of some stuff tonight or just some talking, but I think I really, I feel like I want to cheer myself up and cheer everyone up. It's been a rough couple of weeks with what's going on in this country. Well, yeah, and it's been a rough year or so with this moron for a president. Yeah, so poop on Trump. Buy some of my poop on Trump buttons. Okay, so I'm going to play one of my favorite songs. Let's see. I'm going to pull this off of YouTube, so let's see how it works. This, let's see with Grace Jones. Pull up to the bumper. Let's see if it's loading.
It's time to get your glow on.
It's Jennifer. Get your glow on.
With the more power.
Radiant. bit of the next song I'm going to play. So I want to thank Lee at K-Chung for giving me this spot. Friday nights traditionally at K-Chung have been a, you know, an off night where we don't have shows. We share our studio with painters. You know, there's a painting studio right next door, and K-Chung was always so busy. We initially had given, you know, Friday nights made them quiet nights so people could work in the studio as well as Saturday. But now Saturdays are special programming. So if you, you're at K-Chung and you want to do a special Saturday programming, that's what Saturday is for. So we don't have, I think we have DJs in the morning and for part of the day. But then there's this free time where people can come in maybe like live bands or something. I haven't listened to Saturday in a while. But no one's painting in the studio tonight, so that means I can play the music loud. Otherwise, you know, I would have the headphones on so as to not disturb people who maybe wouldn't like the music I'm playing. So we're just going back to the 80s because I'm in an 80s kind of mood because I'm doing ceramics again like I did in the 80s. So let's just play. We're going to play another. Oh, I want to say about Grace Jones. That looked like that was the official video. You know, it's cool. I don't know how many, if there were a few official videos, if it was just that one. But it's really cool because it's got, you know, green screen and the way, and it's analog, you know, because back in the day, you know, you'd have like a, we have in film school, like the Grass Valley switcher, and you have this switch, you go back and forth, you could green screen from one scene to another, you know, so Grace is like floating over a freeway or something. But I saw Grace Jones I saw Grace Jones at FYF Fest a couple years ago here at in Exposition Park, and I was in the middle of a crowd of like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people, and worried about being crushed to death. But, you know, I made it through okay. I was like up there kind of towards the front. She's amazing. She's like 60-something years old, and I think her son is playing in her band now too. But I saw Grace Jones in at a club in New York. I don't remember the name of the club. However, I believe that my friend William E. Jones was at the club that night because he remembers the name of the club. I described the club to him. It was like a gay disco on the west side. I went with my friend Arnold. I was still living in Hastings on Hudson, and I remembered that night because I had just like overdosed on drugs like a couple of days before. So I had like my bandages on my arm where they like put an IV in or something after they pumped my stomach. I don't know, but I couldn't drink or anything. So we were at this club. And it was like it was like a circular stage. I don't remember what it was called. I'll look it up. So anyway, so let's go. Let's keep going with the 80s because I'm in the 80s kind of mood. Eric B. and Rakim, Paid in Full. This is the journey into the sound. Eric B. and Rakim, Paid in Full. It's got the mix of Pump Up the Volumes in there, which is by that British group. I forget what they're called. Trevor, my ex, he knows. He always tells me the name. He reminds me of the name of that group, but I could look it up. So, yeah, YouTube will, once you play the song you like, then they keep suggesting songs for you that you might like. I hope people don't make fun of me because I play that song, because KCRW plays that song. Actually, Garth Trinidad, I like listening to his show. He plays that song a lot because it's a fantastic song. And I used to dance to that song at this, back in the day, on Rivington Street, this nightclub called, I think it was called the Milky Way. It was kind of a legendary underground club. I was a student. I lived up the street from there. Okay, so I'm trying to help Linda can't seem to get the stream going. I'm not sure why. I can't really give her instructions over the show because she can't hear the show. So I've been texting her instructions. So I wanted to look at my blog. I thought on my blog, which is schnibbe.net, schnibbe.net. I thought that the last blog entry I posted was a poem for Mary. That I wrote for Mary Bellis, who's my best friend who died. We're coming up in March. It'll be the third anniversary of Mary's death. I wrote her this poem when I was in Berlin, and I wanted to read it, but maybe I never posted it. Maybe it's sitting like in an outbox or something on my Instagram. No, on my WordPress, on my schnibbe.net. So let's see if I can remember what the poem is. I'm going to try and remember it. And then next month, which will be the third anniversary of Mary's death, maybe we'll do a special Mary Bella show with some of her friends in New York. That would be good, like a call-in show. And then I can remember the poem. But let's see. I think the poem was like a Berlin poem for Mary, 2015. In Berlin, I usually have dreams of death. Last night, I dreamed of you. Yeah, I think that was it. The original version was, In Berlin, I dream of death. Last night, I dreamt of you. I don't know what I like better, dreamed or dreamt. It's all the same. So let's see. Linda can't get the show to work. I don't know. I'm on the air. So when I play another song, I'll try and I don't know why. It's working for me. It's working on my phone. It's working, you know, I don't know. Maybe the volume's down on her computer. I don't really know. So Linda, the next song, I'll try and help you, but you can't hear me because you can't hear the show. Okay, so here is the last blog post that I have up before the Mary poem. At yoga, let's see, what is this title? It's from February 17th, Yoga in the Park and Seeking Arrangement. At yoga in the park today, I attempted a headstand for the first time and was able to hold my bent legs in the air. But as soon as I straightened them upward, those legs flipped right over my head and I did a somersault, hitting the grass hard. When I pulled myself onto my knees, I could not stop laughing. I'm usually so uptight about going upside down and anything to do with neck stuff since I read this New York Times yoga injury article. Do I hear someone coming in the station? I don't know. The door was locked. Someone's here. I think it's Cotty in the studio, so that's okay. So I'm going to then keep the headphones on and not play the music so loud. Okay, back to the article. I'm usually so uptight about going upside down and anything to do with neck stuff since I read this New York Times magazine yoga injury article in 2012. Was it in the magazine or was it in the paper? I'm just going to click over to that and let's look at that. It says it was in the magazine. So it is 2012 was also a year when I had a lot of anxiety. So of course I think, oh my gosh, if I do this yoga, I'm just going to die. How yoga can wreck your body. And then there's, you can go to schnivy.net if you want to see this article. You can just Google how yoga can wreck your body. And there's some really cute pictures. Members of the Broadway cast of Godspell do their flexible best. From left, Uzo Aduba. She's, you know, from Orange is the New Black. And then she also was we did a concert with Placido Domingo, and she was in the concert. She was one of the singers doing the wheel. That's a wheel pose. George Salazar, extended hand to big toe pose. And Nick Blamire, headstand. So everyone, I hope I got your names correct. But this is about how people injure themselves doing yoga. But, you know, just be good to yourself. Don't push yourself further than you can. Don't be like me and flip over in the grass. If you're going to do a headstand, do it against the wall. Actually, it was really fun. So I say, okay, read the article. Okay, back to my post. But today's experience was a total blast. This was a real breakthrough for me. I feel like a kid again and ready to conquer the world. And tonight, my neck and back have never felt better. After yoga and the day job, I went to the gym and ran a couple of miles on the treadmill. I'm brainstorming ways to dig myself out of this financial hole I'm in. Last night, I signed up for the website Seeking Arrangement, and I'm currently waiting for my profile to be approved. Takes 24 to 48 hours. I am looking for an investor. Quotes, investor. Will I get any date requests, or am I too old? Will the potential dates be confused by my profile description, which was cut and pasted from numerous art grant applications? Should I have simply stated that I like hiking, cooking, EDM, and white wine? I could have used my East LA college student email to get a discount rate on premium services, whatever that means, I'm not sure. But I don't want hooker spam going to my college email account that gets forwarded to my regular Gmail account. Oh shit, did I just call Seeking Arrangement a hooker site? But it's not an escort site. It's a dating site for regular folks who just want other regular folks to give them money and buy them gifts in exchange for, cough, cough, intimate companionship. Okay, so Seeking Arrangement is actually, was here at K-Chung, one of the women who used to be a DJ here was telling me about that site, and I was laughing because it's like, you know, where young women are like, I'm a college student and I need money. But it's funny because that's kind of like, okay, so back in the day in New York, you know, when I was a sex worker, this is, you know, you say, I'm a college student, I need money. That's like the classic line, right? So also, I mean, I was a sex worker when I was a college student, needed money. When I was a go-go dancer. So anyway, I listened to some, they've got like some podcast, this singing arrangement called like Talking Sugar or something. And it's these two women who talk about dating and stuff. And they talk about what you should do and how you shouldn't talk about money with these guys. You should just go out on the date and then sort of, you know, you can bring that up later and, you know, like this. But it's, you know, I mean, well, you're giving, the guys give you money for companionship or something, which to me is like an escort site. So I was also reading this article about this, about where it was a woman who worked at the Bunny Ranch, and she went on a date. The Bunny Ranch is, you know, a professional, you know, whorehouse in Nevada, where I filmed some of Porn Star Pets there. We filmed a few of the girls who were in adult videos, and they brought their pets to work, and, you know, so we filmed them. So she went on a date and she was raped by a guy, and because he had this expectation that she was just going to put out, and he gave her an American Express credit card that actually had no money on it. You know, it was supposed to be like a money card, and she was raped, and that's a horrific story. And then when I had read something about more about this story, how the one of the founders, a spokesperson for the site or something, said, well, you know, that's because, you know, we don't expect, you know, professional prostitutes to be on this site or something. And, you know, that made me really mad because, you know, the thing about professional prostitutes is they know how to take care of themselves. You know, it's goods and services and business. No means no, guys, you know. Hello, yes means yes, no means no. It's pretty clear-cut. And when you're a prostitute, it's very clear-cut. Like, you know what the rules are. And when you're a prostitute, especially in a house, like the Bunny Ranch, a place like that, there's protection. You know, there's people there who are going to help you and watch out for you. Well, especially Bunny Ranch, Dennis Hoff and his crew. Dennis Hoff is a big guy. He looks like he was a football player or something. He's a very large man, very tall. And when we went to film in his house, when he was dating Sunset Thomas, and she had this, she had border collies, and then she also rode horses, you know, so there were some pets there. I would not mess with anyone around Dennis Hoff because he's big and his friends are big. And, you know, he was very nice to us. He was very, very good to us and let us film there. So, oh, singing arrangement. So back to that. So what? Okay. So some dude, you can, like, the guys who pay a lot of, you know, the guys who have premium service, they hide their pictures, you know, and then you can request their pictures. So there was this guy older than me, so I'm 54, so I'm like, well, you know, maybe if someone on there is like 104, then I'd be like a younger woman, right? I wouldn't be 20-year-old, but if you're 104, do you really want to go out with a 20-year-old? It would look kind of weird, right? But 54? Anyway, so I thought, okay, this is weird. So I messaged this guy, he sends me his picture, so then you know, of course, I have to do a Google image search because, you know, I want to see if he's like a serial killer, right? So I do a Google image search, and he comes up on this site for there's all these pictures of all these guys, and it's like men who offer women money for sex. Okay, and I'm like, well, this is weird. And then I like sort of did some sleuthing with that site and went to like Reddit, and it said that, you know, guys were like, our pictures are being sucked off of seeking arrangement, and you know, they're bribing us at some Russian hacker, and they're trying to get guys to give them money so they'll remove their picture from this site. So like, okay, drama. So this guy, he tells me he's an art collector, and then so I'm like, okay, and he says he collects beautiful art or commissions beautiful art or something. Like, all right, so I text with him. And, oh, also it has, like, his name on there and his phone number, which is, like, somebody, I don't know how, they must be really good if they can, like, I don't know how they would get that information, because on that seeking arrangement site, it's not like they use, like, a fake name, you know, so I don't know how this guy had a name, and it was his phone number, and then, so, anyway, so we're texting, I'm like, he sends me some picture of the art he collects, so one of the pieces, of course, I do Google image search on that to see, like, who's the artist? Like, who is this person? And I don't know what it was. It was some kind of hotel art, or I don't know what the art was. I couldn't find the person's name. And I said, like, what's the name of the artist? He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm not at home. I'm traveling. And I'm like, well, what kind of art collector doesn't know the art they collect? Like, aren't you supposed to, like the artist? And, like the art you buy and know the artist? I mean, the collectors I know are all, like, really into, like, knowing all about the art and the artists, and like, they're into art. I mean, that's why they collect, right? So anyway, so he sends me something, and he says, you can call me, and I won't say the name. And then and I was like, that's not your real name. And he's like, how do you know that's not my real name? Like, well, because, you know, you're on this side. I don't know what he said. It was crazy. It did not go well. It did not go well for me in that. He kept saying, he has to be discreet. He has to be discreet. Like, he asked me where I work and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, everybody has to be discreet. This is a crazy site. Like, everyone wants to be discreet. I put up pictures, like, from art show, like, and I put up all stuff from, like, art stuff, which is really kind of crazy. I don't know where – I don't bring my password, so I can't, like, look, but it was, like, you know, talking about, like, how I'm a multidisciplinary artist. Like, it was just, you know, and what my work is informed by this and this and that, and, you know, and I make installations. You know, it's just, like – it looks like a – it looks kind of like a – like an art project, right? So I'm like, okay, so – will I go out on a date or not? Who wants to go out with an old lady like me? Young guys, not old guys. And the young guys, you know, they don't have any money to pay. So they can, like, buy me a little drink or, like, it's all silly. It's all silly, silly, silly. But I got to get on the new site, and then I'm sort of clicking around and looking, but no one sent me a message yet. Well, why? Because I'm an old lady. But there's a thing called, like, sugar puppies, I don't know what they're called, for, like, young dudes who want old ladies to take care of them. Well, we all know I went been through that before, and that's why I have no money today, or part of the reason. Well, part of the reason is also that running my studio is really expensive. I expanded, and I'm grateful for the money I received to expand, and I'm grateful for all the support I've been given, you know, to keep the studio going. But I've sort of hit a bottom, and I'm really in a lot of trouble. So if anyone wants to buy art, buy the art now. You can go to margieschnibby.com. You can hit me up. Come on over, do a studio visit. Or, you know, I don't know. I could make you dinner, do a performance. I don't know. Buy some buttons. Buy some prints. I have a fiscal sponsor, Fulcrum Arts, because I'm making an art residency in my parking lot, and I'm still working on the trailer, but it's really cold winter. I think it's going to be a summer residency. It's called lot2001.com. If you go to lot2001.com, you can see, or maybe it's lot2001.org. I think I bought both URLs. I don't know where the site is. I think it's lot2001.com. So if you want to propose a project, come hang out with me. Stay in the trailer, make some crazy, crazy art in the parking lot, or do a performance. Or if you get in a jam, you don't have a place to live, you're an artist, you can come hang out with me. So I'm trying to fund that. But it's only good in the warm weather. I think it's too cold in the winter. There's an air conditioner in the trailer, and I have to get a bed. There's, like, a fold-down bed, but I want to get, like, a proper bed, and I'm still sealing it up because it leaks a little bit. But, So this is, like, a crazy rant. Maybe we should take a break for music. But, oh, okay, so I was talking about seeing arrangement. I see this, like, I'm clicking through, and I see a picture of this guy, and I'm like, he looks so familiar. Who is that guy? So, you know, I download the picture, do Google image search. Oh, look, it's Eli Broad. So anyway, so someone's made this fake Eli Broad profile, right? And I've seen the same name in Instagram because I was looking to tag Eli, Eli Broad today, and it came up. But I did send a message to, I'm not going to say the username because I don't want to, you know, like, sites like this, they're, you know, there's, like, you have to respect the privacy, even if you can kind of poke fun at it. You know, there's some people on there, they take it very, very seriously, you know, and you don't want to mess with someone's privacy or hurt their feelings or something. So this is on the the fake Eli Broad profile. And then I wrote, I'm using a fake name too. The name I use on there is Vina V, because there's already a Vina. So if you're looking for me on Seeking Arrangement, Vina-V. That was my porn name. So Vina V, I wrote, I'm curious, who made this fake Eli Broad profile? LOL. No response. but they did read the message. Okay, then I say, no. Then I wrote another one shortly after. I'm like, oh, what if it is Eli Brode? Okay, or if you are the real Eli Brode, let's have a date. I want to sell you some of my art. Please say yes. And sugar daddy, those in caps, you know, a lot of caps. Not all caps, just a big sugar daddy that's in caps. Please, will you pay off my CalArt student loan debt and all of my credit card debt, too, and my art studio rent? Thank you so much. Let's have a date soon. So if you're the Eli Brode, if you're listening, you know, you can buy me a drink. And I will tell you, what I'm going to tell you is this. That Jasper Johns show should be free because I read a New York Times article, and I think that was in the magazine too, but I read it online. And then, you know, when the magazine came, I had already read the article. Jasper Johns agreed to do that show, according to the article, because he thought the museum was free, right? So that's why he agreed to do the show. The person who wrote the New York Times article, I'm sorry I don't have your name in front of me, but thank you for writing that article, said, well, you know, it's not free. It's $25, you know. It's $25, the admission. So I'll look up the article, and I'll see the exact line, and I'll get the author's name. So I thought it was good that the author mentioned that. So I want to say, Mr. Eli Brode, make the show free. I went to see for free because I have a K-Chung press pass, and I did do a recording for K-Chung News about it. But I think specifically about this issue. I like the show. It's good to see these old timers work. You know, some of the pieces, of course, I'd seen already in New York, and I think maybe at LACMA too, or MoCA or something. MoCA, and then you know, the Brode collection. You know, Jasper Johns wants young people to see his work. And he also, like, has an art foundation. He gives money to artists. Like, he seems like a pretty cool guy. So, you know, and when he dies, his studio where he is in Connecticut, and I guess he's got, like, a compound that's going to be a, an artist residency. So he really cares for artists. So at the press preview, they did say they're going to try and work with some student groups to let them in for free or something. I think they should let anyone with a student ID in for free. I think they should let a lot of people in for free. Eli Brode has a lot of money, and there's a lot of people, arts philanthropists in LA who support these places. And, you know, for, like, young people who don't have money, like, I think, you know, the kids I'm in class with at East LA College, you know, they work jobs in the day, and they go to school at night, and they don't have $25 to drop to see, like, a show like that, if they have the time. A lot of them have kids, you know, they're really hard working, and it's like, they don't how are they going to have, and their job, like, these women, we were talking about their jobs, you know, they're not high-paying jobs. So this is students have a really hard time, and, you know, they should be able to get to see some of this great art for free. So, you know, I think Jasper Johns' work is great. It's historically, it's really important, you know, whether, it is, and some of the surfaces are really beautiful, you know. So let's hear, I'm going to go back to the blog and play some music. The music I played, by the way, in the beginning of the show, that was my music, speaking of Vina Virago, which was... music from porn films. I think it was like, I think that song was called like Nietzsche. It was like music I made for East Side Story, which was shot actually not far from where my studio is now, and even has like in the opening credits, my block is right on there. Oh, here's something. I got a little, Valentine's Day was a little complicated for me this year. That's all I'm going to say. It was a little bit complicated. It didn't quite work out as planned, but, I didn't think I was angry at a certain person I was supposed to spend some time with who got drunk, and instead I think he was waiting because I was in school that night. I don't know what happened, but, you know, I like this person. He's a good guy. He has some problems sometimes, so then I posted this video. Okay, I think we can hear, this is a video I made at CalArts in the, I think in 95 or 96, with Megumi Nakai. That's called Megumi Portrait of a Dominatrix. And it's sort of psychedelic. If you go to schnibbe.net, schnibbe.net, you can watch the video. And it's also like analog, psychedelic analog with green screen. It's also, there's like shaky film that was like shaking through the gate. Like it's a mess. But the soundtrack is kind of cool. So I'm going to play the soundtrack to Megumi Portrait of a Dominatrix. And please go to schnibbe.net and watch it. So I thought that I had turned off the YouTube, but now it's playing all kinds of other songs. So let's see. Here we go, Megumi Portrait of Dominatrix. It's low.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how. Somewhere in her smile she knows that I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me. Something in the way she knows. All I have to do is think.
Yes, Megumi Portrait of a Dominatrix, Cal Arts, 1996. You can tell I had some, like, it's like the issues with the levels, too. Like it was made on a. Well, I guess I had to take it into, like, video studio. But, you know, this is all analog tape and tape cutting, and the levels are crazy. Like, some's loud, some's soft. That was in the student showcase. They play that because I wanted them to play my other home porno movie, but it was I think, too explicit for the parents. Which is also psychedelic, it's called First Date. You could see that on my website, margieschnibbe.com. yeah, but I was very shy about that video too, even though I made it. So we're almost coming up on the hour. So I don't know if Linda ever got on the rope. She didn't get on. So I'm gonna go back to my WordPress site, my blog, schnibbe.net. Oh, yeah, playlist for logging my $27,731.88 in credit card debt. This does not include student loan and other personal loan debt. So, yeah, this was the night I was looking at spreadsheets. And then I wanted to listen to some music, too. But let's see what I'm going to play. I've got five songs here. Which one am I going to play? I think I'm going to play, I think I'm going to play Chic, I Want Your Love. Disco. Who remembers disco? Disco. Okay.